Bible say we got a little dark storm coming up? Luke chapter 5, and you know, when I was, since it's been so long, it's been over a year since we've had Sunday night service, and you know, as we started heading towards Sunday night, a lot of times, you know, I study the Bible, read my Bible, daily devotions, reading, looking at devotions and things, and I'd see things that I'd like to preach, and they were more like geared up for Sunday night services. I mean, they were really more like, you know, speaking to the church, not as evangelistic as maybe some of the other messages are, and I guess you could preach any of them anytime. I would file them away. I'd write some things down in my notebook in the back. I'd write down, boy, Sunday night, this is a good Sunday night message outline. I don't know if it's good, but anyway, it's where it's going to get preached, and this is one of the ones I had written down some time back. Just looked at what I was studying and kind of covered several things, kind of a lot of reading in the text. So I'm going to break it up just a little bit. But I was thinking about the power, you know, the power of Jesus when we look. Of course, we know He's God. And the title of the message tonight is Absolute Power. Absolute Power. We see in Luke chapter 5 in verse 1, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed," which there that means that he asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great number of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all, and they followed him. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, that we can meet tonight and get back to our Sunday night service. I thank you for those that saw the need, Lord, and saw fit to come and attend and meet together in fellowship, Lord, and sit before the preaching of your word tonight. We're thankful for those here. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord, tonight as we look to your word, and we'll be encouraged, Lord, and get our lives on track for you. And we'll put the service into your hands tonight. Lord, fill us with your spirit tonight. Fill this place with the awareness of your presence here, Lord, and we ask for your anointing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Absolute power. You know, first off, just so you know that when you see the Lord came up upon Jesus that day, and or came up upon Peter that day and the other fishermen, this wasn't the first time that they met. Matter of fact, it's been some weeks back. I think Peter had been called, spoken to probably by Jesus about a year before. It was when he told him that he would be a rock. And it's probably been some weeks before that he had actually told him to follow him, follow me. And it says that they left all and they had followed Jesus. But for some reason, they had gone back to fishing again. That was what their previous job was. They fished. That's what they did. And so they went back to that, and the Bible says clearly that they had fished all the night. That's when you fished. Fishing was better. It was not in the heat of the day. That's when they fished. They fished all night, and they had caught nothing, and the Bible says that they washed their nets. The reason you wash your nets, you know, you get seaweed, toilet seats, everything else that you catch besides fish. You got to get that out of your net, and it keeps them in shape, and it keeps them from rotting faster and those type things. So they were cleaning their nets out, and the Bible says that Jesus came. And if you'll notice there, and this is one of the things that would tell you that he already, something that Jesus probably wouldn't have done otherwise, but it says that he, in verse 2, that he saw two ships, which that word ships would be boats to you and I. It wasn't what we would think of as ships, standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets, and he entered into one of the ships. He didn't ask anybody anything. He didn't ask permission to get in one of the ships. It just says that Jesus came and that he got into one of the ships, and he asked Peter that if he would push out from the shore just a little bit. He had been preaching. He was preaching to a crowd. A crowd of people were still coming down to hear him. They got down to the water, so he figured he's going to get pushed out into the water just a little bit, and he'll be able to, the people, at least he can get some distance from them just a little bit, and he was going to be able to continue to preach. And see, it said in verse 1 that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. How about that? They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. I'd like to get into that atmosphere right there. Where people are just piling up, man. We got to get the local people to come down here, the local police and direct traffic, to get people into the church to hear the word of God preached. And we wouldn't be talking about there's more on one side than the other, but the whole church is full of people wanting to hear the word of God. How about that? He went down there and preached, and so he got out. And Peter did what he asked. We see Jesus. There was no rebuke towards Peter and the other fishermen for going back. But Jesus took command of the situation. He took command of the boat. He took command of the whole thing that was taking place there that day. Peter responded, didn't ask any questions. He just went ahead and pushed the boat out, and Jesus said it, that he taught the multitude. He taught them, let me look at how it's written exactly. It says, and he sat down, in verse 3, he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. And while he, get the picture of the scene there, now Peter's in the boat and he's rowed out there just a little bit, however they did it. Somebody's coming in the door, Mike, I think, if you can watch and see. He rowed out just a little bit from the shore. He sat there, and Jesus is looking at the crowd, and he's preaching. And as he's preaching, of course, Peter's sitting there, and he's listening. You know, he's looking at Jesus. He's keeping quiet. He's listening to what he has to say. Taking everything in that he's got to say. And then notice what it says. It says, and now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon in verse 4, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draw. So now he's done with the crowd, and he's going to go to a teaching lesson with Peter, Luke chapter 5. He's going to go to a teaching lesson with Peter, and he's going to teach him something one-on-one. He got a little more teaching to do. We see Jesus is about to go in the fishing business. He said, and everything was contrary. You probably heard preaching on this. Now it's daytime, but Jesus says, listen, go out there and let down your nets. Jesus is going to go in the fishing business. And I'm going to tell you something. Any business that Jesus goes into is going to be a booming business. Huh? I mean, anything that Jesus attaches himself to. And that's one of the whole reasons why he did this. That he attached himself to this fishing. Business is going to be booming. And they had just fished all night. They knew what they were doing. This is what they did for a living. They've probably been doing it all their life. Their daddies were probably fishermen. Their granddaddies were probably fishermen. But they didn't catch nothing. I believe that was ordained by God. Huh? You know, Peter's going to learn something that, listen, God's in control. He has absolute power. He's got absolute power over your success. He's got absolute power over your failure. And if you get on board with what Jesus is doing, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to be in a success. And if Jesus called you to go into the fishing business, he said, man, Brian, I want you to be a fisherman, and you got the Lord Jesus with you and in the boat, I'm going to tell you what, that net's going to be about to break just about every time you go fishing. I think it's going to be a booming, successful business. But they failed. And I'm going to tell you why that was ordained by God, because God didn't want Peter to be in the fishing business. He wanted him to be in the man fishing business. And he wanted to show him something. Yeah, you left me. You walked away. He said, but I wanted you to follow me because I got something bigger. I got something better. I got something else that you're going to be successful at. I want you to do it. But you went back to doing what you wanted to do. And guess what? I can keep you from being successful. And I can make you successful, and I'm going to show you here in just a second. Now, Peter, of course, put up that small protest. I like this. People do this sometimes. They want to give you a little protest. They want to argue just a little bit, but they don't want to give you time to jump in because they know they're wrong. And so they don't, they just keep going. You know, it's like a filibuster. They just keep talking so you can't say anything. And they, and Peter said, well, Lord, we done fished all night, but nevertheless, I will. I'm going to go ahead and do it, you know, before you get a chance to say anything. And that's exactly what it did. Nevertheless, he said, we have told in verse 5, we have told all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Yeah, at thy word, but this little protest. And what he's really saying is, and we do this a lot with God, he says, I don't really see. Well, we fished all night, but never at thy word, nevertheless, I don't see how. I don't see how it's going to happen. I don't see how it's going to do any good. But what harm is it? We're going to let the nets down. We've been cleaning them all morning here. You know, now we got to let them down. Now we got to clean them again. But nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let the nets down and we'll see what happens. So there's a little protest there, and he doesn't see how. They're Baptists. They got to be. They've got to be. They got to be independent Baptists. They can't see how God's going to do it. And boy, the nets got so full, the nets started breaking. And they started, they probably have never, and this is just me. I mean, the Bible doesn't say this. I doubt seriously whether they ever in their whole fishing lives ever had a catch where it was busting the nets, where they had to call for the, hey, you guys, come on, man, we're going to sink, we're going to flip, it's busting the nets, right? Because what was Jesus teaching him a lesson here, right? He said, Peter, man, if I'm in it, you're going to have some help. If I want you to fish for fish, brother, you're going to have to hire some more people, some more boats, because the other boat's going to have the same problem he's having if it's his company, right? He's going to have the same problem. You want with all those fish? And he calls for help. Boy, I'd like to have that much success, wouldn't you? How'd you like to have that much success where we got to get some help? Oh, when we do have to get help with some things, we do. And then Peter said this in verse 8, and Peter said, when he saw what he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, I thought about that. I mean, just the fact, now this is Jesus. Peter's already got an idea about him. He doesn't know everything he's going to know about him, but he's already got an idea about him. Jesus already done a few things. He'd already said he would follow him. He wasn't following a nobody. He was following a somebody. He was following somebody that's done something. He had been influenced somehow by what Jesus had done. He said, he hadn't said, I'm a sinful man yet before, I don't believe, not in that same sense, you know, because of what happened. It wasn't because all of a sudden there was a whole bunch of fish in the boat, and he said, man, I'm a sinful man, and then I don't deserve all these fish and all those things right there. I think it was the conviction of the fact that he had already said, I will forsake all and follow you. And it clicked in his mind, and I fished all night, and I didn't catch nothing. And I know that you kept me from that. And now I know that it's you that said, look here, Peter, this is what can happen when you listen to me. And he said, yeah, put the net out, and now it's more, and he knows. You know, there's some conviction about, you know, I said I'd follow you, but I went back to fishing, and I should have kept on following you. And I'll tell you another thing. He said, you know, it was about a year ago when you said I would be a rock, and I see there's no rock in me. No, I've done went back. I've already gone back. I'm going to tell you what, I believe he understood that whatever Jesus calls us to do will be a success. I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. I remember when I was in school and the real smart students and the ones that really put and you know it wasn't that I wasn't a smart student. I put zero effort. zero effort into most of the now I was a biology whiz, man. I'm not kidding. My football coach, Mr. Weaver, was the biology teacher. He used to call me Dr. Boone. If nobody else in the class answered a biology question, he'd say, Dr. Boone, why don't you tell him what that means? And I was good. I would get high grades in biology, but the one class I didn't like, I didn't put any effort in, and it showed no problem. But the kids that really wanted, man, they wanted to go to college, and here they were, eighth, ninth grade. What you going to do for a living? I'm going to be a lawyer. I knew one guy. His daddy was a lawyer. He said he's going to be a lawyer. He's a lawyer. He's got a building down Virginia Beach. It's called the Byler Building. His last name was Byler. He's got a building named that. You know, name. It's not a real big building. It's a, you know, not, several of them, this is what I'm going to do. One girl, she said, I'm going to go to work for NASA. She went to work for NASA. 10-year reunion. She was working for NASA. Man, pretty impressive. She was the valedictorian, by the way, but of the school. But you know, they had these goals. And I didn't have a goal. I was like a jellyfish. I'm just kind of floating with the tide. If the tide went this way, I went that way. If the tide went that way, I went that way. Whichever way the wind blew. I didn't know. I just was kind of letting life happen to me, and I didn't have any direction there. And I started thinking about it when I was like a senior, you know, junior, upper junior, senior year. I thought, gee, everybody knows what they're doing. Man, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to this college, that college. I'm going to, man, I said, I'm going to work. I just don't know where. I didn't know. Huh? Oh, man, listen. You know, and I started thinking about that. And, you know, and I thank God that God had a plan. I mean, on my list of what I want to be in life wasn't pastoring a church in Buchanan, Virginia. It wasn't pastoring a church in no place in Virginia. It was nothing like that. It had nothing to do with that. I got a short list of things I would have probably been interested in doing. But God had a plan. And man, that's the great thing. What do you think is going to be successful? If I had to look at where I'm at now. If I had to choose any other thing, I'm not saying I couldn't have made a living at it, but it wouldn't have been what God wanted me to do. It'd been hard to get in on what God wanted me to do. And so thank God that there was some direction. And instead of me just picking a direction, that God had a direction. And listen, Peter and them had made a living fishing all the way up to this point in their life, I'm pretty sure. But I'm going to tell you, once Jesus said, listen, I got something for you to do. And you know, you can run. Old Jonah found out. Huh? Jonah said, no, sir, I'm not going to Nineveh. I hate them people. I'm not going to go down there and preach to them. And God said, oh, yeah. And he said, no, I'm not, and I'm going to run. And God said, run. You're going to end up in a whale's belly, huh, with the light on, and you ain't going to have no Mountain Dew in your hand either. Sitting in there with, remember that commercial on TV? You're going to be sitting in there with your big lighter on and you inside a whale's belly. And when that whale spit him out, he said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Man, you can't get away from God. And so that's what God wanted him to do. And I believe that dawned on Peter. He said, I'm a sinful man because I didn't continue to follow God in what you were calling me to do. And Jesus is showing Peter, he said, listen, if I called you to be a fisherman, I'm going to tell you what, you'd be the best. Business would be booming, but I'm not calling you to be a fisherman. And he said, I'm calling you to catch men. He said, you're going to do something that's more important. I'm going to tell you what, anything God has got us to do is more important than anything we think we got to do. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It don't have to be big. Anything God calls you to do is big, even if we think it's small. Anything God calls you to do is a big thing. Jesus said right off the bat, and this is, it's always amazing to me how many times either Jesus or the angels have to say, fear not. You know why they usually have to say, fear not? Because we out of God's will. And he said, fear not. He said, I'm a sinful man. He said, fear not. He said, from henceforth, from now on, it don't matter what happened in the past. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. You know what? We can make mistake after mistake after mistake, but there's a henceforth in there somewhere where after that we can go on with the Lord. We don't have to worry about the past because he's done forgot. He's forgiven us for that. He's moved us past that point on to something else. Man, how many, do you ever get aggravated with your own self? Huh? You ever get disgusted with your own self? Mad at your own self? Discouraged with your own self? Just, oh, man, why can't I do what I know I'm supposed to do? You ever get like that, or am I the only one that happens to? Huh? But you know what? Never. But from henceforth, that's all it is. From henceforth, you can just change it. That's the thing with God. He's in the forgiving business. And from that point on, and Jesus tells him, he says, fear not. He said, from now on, you're going to catch men. In the Greek, the way the verb is arranged, it means catch men alive. From henceforth, you're going to catch men alive. It's only used two places in the New Testament. It's right here where Jesus said you're going to catch men alive, and it's also used of the devil in the New Testament where it says that the devil catches men alive. Those are the two places that it's used. Catch men alive. Listen, I don't care what it is. What could I have done? You know, I was interested in radio at one point in my life. Like to have been on WCPR. Maybe it had been WCBD. CDB, maybe that. But, you know, I was interested in radio. But what was that going to be compared to what God wanted me to do for him? Huh? What if you were a brain surgeon? What if you did go to work for NASA? They're all cool things, you know? I mean, all those things. But what would it be in compared to what God would have us do in expanding the kingdom? Now, along life's in the worldly things, and all of us, listen, as Christians, I don't care what you are. Paul, he works for the police department. I'm glad. I'm not a defund police guy. I'm glad we got him. You know, I'm glad the police is there when you got to call 911. I'm glad we got people works at the hospital if you get sick. I'm glad God got people that are doctors. But all them people, if they're Christians, they still got another calling, and that's to catch men alive. And I'm going to tell you which career is the best, the most important. The most important thing is what God has called us to do for him, because all the other things will pass away. And so Peter, you know, this and listen, Peter, man, when I look at all the apostles and we look at, boy, we like to be like Paul, and I'm afraid more of us are like Peter than we are like Paul. You know that we're kind of we kind of jump in there at some things and put our foot in our mouth every time we turn around, and we got a lot of failures in our life, and we're just a lot like Peter. I mean, we fail all the time, but Jesus had to teach him along the way, and he was learning things along the way. One thing I like about Peter, he learned pretty fast. Peter learned pretty fast. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, when he denied the Lord three times and that cock crowed right there, the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly, buddy. I mean, he had some remorse right away. It didn't take 20 years of backsliding to finally turn back to Christ. I mean, he turned back to Christ pretty quick. I mean, he was dragging his head and dragging his tail, but he went back to the Lord, and the Lord restored him pretty fast. I mean, I will say Peter learned pretty quick every time he made a mistake. And Jesus revealed that he was supreme in everything. I'm going to take something that you're familiar with. We talked about the soil this morning and the farmers, and they knew about that. He said, now he took the world that they were familiar with, fishing. He said, I'm supreme in that. If I don't want you to catch no fish, you're not going to catch no fish. Maybe that'll be our excuse, Randy, when we go deer hunting, we don't have no deer. And then if God wants us to catch, we're going to have to go get some help. We're going to have to call somebody to come in. I mean, that's just the way it is. If God's blessing in that case. And then he's supreme in the world that we're familiar with, and he's also supreme in the world that they and we are not always familiar with, and that is the business of God's kingdom, what he does, what he's doing. You know, it's amazing to me that God even chooses us to do anything, yet God chooses to do anything through us. Can you imagine having this group right here, and that you got to get something off the ground? You've got to depend on the kingdom of God being built, and you look at the group that we are, and I'm including myself. We look around at what we're doing or what we're not doing for the Lord, and this is what you got to depend on, and you're thinking, how is it? And in your mind, we're all thinking, how is this going to work out, brother? If this isn't going to do too good, and look around, it's not doing all that great, not individually like right here. But I mean, but just think about it. But God chose us. He chose us. Well, y'all want to come down the altar now and say, I'm a sinful man? Y'all want to come down here right now and pray, and I'm a sinful man? But how about we get right to the henceforth? Well, from now on, from tonight on. What about tonight on? Huh? You going to catch men alive? How about from that point on, whatever point in your life, when it finally hits that, you can go. And I'm going to tell you what. When God chooses to do this, God's business, Jesus has a mission, and he calls us to help in that mission. Saving souls, generally speaking, is what we know about. He calls men into his service. When he called Peter, you know what he said, Peter? I can use your boat. I can use your net. When he calls us, he appropriates what we have. He consecrates what we have. It may be talent. It may be our possessions. You can use things. I remember back years ago when I first started pastoring here, we didn't have any vehicles out here, no buses, no nothing like that. And we just happened to have one of them Chevy Astro vans. We used that for the church bus. I remember old Jeremy Mullins, man. You know how picky I am about my cars and stuff. And we had that, it had the country coach edition. You know, the curtains and the nice little wooden curtain rack. The little curtain rod was oak. and it had these little oak light things hanging down out of the ceiling, and you kind of move them around, you know. I mean, all that stuff, you know, they look cool and all, but it's not made for no roughhousing. We got the kids in there, the Mullins boys, Jeremy back there in the back bouncing around, snatched one of them lights, tears it down, it's hanging by the two cords. Oh, you know, but you know what? We were using our van, we used, and we didn't mind doing that, we used our van for the kingdom of God, to pick up kids, to bring them to church, because we didn't have the money to buy a bus, and we didn't have a bus, so we had one, right? Can't play the guitar, huh? Can't sing, so I can drive the van, right? That's what we did. That's what God does. And so when he calls men to his service, he calls men to consecrate what they have to his service, whatever that may be, boats, nets. And it's our business to surrender those things to him. And when we do, maybe this is the, and this may be where we are sinful men. When we do, business will be booming. When we consecrate everything that we have for God, you know why we don't, you know why we didn't have no special singing this morning? Because nobody got up here to do it that has the gift. You know why we didn't have no special singing tonight? Because nobody got up here to do it that has the gift. They're not given the talent that they have. We got one of the best singers in the whole church. I won't say who it is, but people said, and Sherry watched on Facebook, and I could hear from here this individual person singing, the best singer in the whole church, not singing for God. We got people that we have other talents. We have our things. Business would be booming if we give what we have. Because what we have, God gave us. Huh? Peter knew if he wasn't for the Lord, he wouldn't have that boat. He wouldn't have that net. He wouldn't certainly have them fish. And when business is booming, we're going to have to call for help. That's a good problem to have right there. So we see Jesus had absolute power over failure. That's the point number one there, Eileen. Sorry about that. That should have been there the whole time. But he has absolute power over failure, so fear not. Fear not. Nevertheless, from henceforth, thou wilt have point number one on the board at all times. The second thing we see in the next little part of this chapter is power over sickness. In verse 12, it said, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." And then we have a man here, a story right after this one. I think they're all connected too. Sometimes we just preach one little segment of this one particular chapter, and I know the chapters got put in later on, but we see this man that he was full of leprosy. When it says full of leprosy, it means that he just didn't have leprosy. Leprosy doesn't usually start out over you from head to toe. It starts out in one area and then it spreads. Always a picture of sin in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it's a picture of sin, but we always take it because it works the same way. Nothing you can do about it. There's no cure for it. Only God can take care of it. It begins to spread as it, it immobilizes you and causes you to lose sensitivity and things like that. But when it says he's full of leprosy, that means that he is ate up with it. He's full of leprosy. He's beyond human help and hope. And he's desperate on top of that. But then we see a man here that was desperate, but he had faith. And this leper, he goes to Jesus, and look what he says. I like this. Here's somebody, he knows something. It said that he came to pass, he was in a city, behold, a man full of leprosy, verse 12, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou will, thou can make me clean. Now notice he didn't ask to be cleansed. He said, if you will. Now boy, this is how every prayer ought to go. You know, a lot of times we say, Lord, this is what you got to do. Lord, I need you to do it. But he didn't ask the Lord to do something. He said, and this is where I think A lot of our faith is, I know sometimes I feel this way about certain things. I know God could do anything. I believe that. I think I believe that. I'll share with you at the end something that I've convicted about lately. But he said, you know what, Lord, I know you can make me clean. Now, this was an impossibility. I don't know how many lepers had been cleansed up to this point. I didn't go and do a story, look and see, or maybe not any, but other than Old Testament, Naaman comes to mind. But he knew that the Lord Jesus could make him clean if he would. And a lot of times when we pray, I think we know that the Lord could do it if it was in his will, if he would do it. We're not sure why, and we know that God's timing and everything is involved in that. And let me share it with you now, as I'll probably forget later. But sometimes we're just not sure why. And sometimes when we don't get the answer, you know, we're pretty impatient. And we might pray a week or two, and if we don't get an answer, we think, well, gee, it must not be God's will. And you know what happens? We quit praying. We just quit praying about certain things. I got convicted about that. I'll share it with you here in a little bit at the end, hopefully again. But we quit praying. But he recognized, here's the guy, doesn't have a doctor's degree, doesn't know what you and I know. He recognized the sovereignty of the Lord, if thou will. That's how we should pray. And he didn't ask, I want to be cleansed. He said, if thou will, you can. That was it. It was a statement. But he was desperate in this way right here. The law said that if you had leprosy, that you had to kind of hold one finger over your upper lip. I don't know why. Maybe it's like the COVID mask to keep from spitting on somebody. You had to hold your hand up here over your mouth, and you had to cry out unclean, and it was up to you to stay away, keep your distance. Sound familiar? You had to keep your distance from everybody else, but he didn't. He came to Jesus. Huh? He was a desperate situation. I mean, he just threw it all out the window. He went in, he broke the law. He broke the law by coming in the midst of Jesus. Now, when you get desperate enough, it don't matter. Huh? If you get desperate enough, hey, it wasn't going to matter. And some claim, now when you think about this, and then what it said there, it says, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Now we see that Jesus touched the leper. And some are saying, well, you know what? There's a couple views on this. I looked at it. Jesus broke the law because the law also said that you couldn't touch a leper. And therefore that Jesus broke the law. Now, some people say this. Well, it pictures what Jesus did on the cross. Because what he did was he became sin for us. The Bible says he was cursed and he hung on the cross and he took our sins upon himself. And this was picturing him taking sin upon himself. And that's what he was doing on the cross. But others believe this, and I believe this might be closer to the truth or not, that Jesus didn't touch a leper. But when he said, and he reached out like this, he said, I will. And he said, be thou clean, and he touched him all in one simultaneous move, that at his word, that man was cleansed when Jesus touched him, and he didn't touch a leper, he touched a cleansed man. How you like that theory right there? All we know is he said, be thou clean, he touched him, he was cleansed, and I don't know if Jesus was worrying about breaking the law at that point or not. On the other hand, in his holiness, he probably wouldn't have broke the law of Moses He could, and well, we know he could keep from breaking the law. But he touched him. Absolute power over sickness. Absolute power over sickness. Now, listen, I'm not one of those that says, listen, you get sick, and all you got to do is pray in Jesus' name. You pray in Jesus' name, and buddy, you're going to be healed. And if you pray in Jesus' name and you're not healed, it must be because you got sin in your life or something. There's people that believe along them lines right there. I always take them to Paul. Paul prayed 3 times about a thorn in the flesh. He had some kind of physical problem. Some people think it was with his eyes. It don't really matter. He had a physical problem. He asked the Lord 3 times. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient. He didn't heal him. And I know he wasn't sinless. I know, but I believe his life, he was in God's will in his life. right there. And if that's the case, how come we all get sick, and or how come we all going to die? All those things happen. I'm not saying that, but I believe that Jesus is, and he does heal people, and he can heal people. That's not his main purpose. That's not his main goal. His main purpose, his main mission is to see people saved. And lots of people that were saved got sick. Lots of people that got saved were killed. They were martyred for taking a stand for Christ. He had a reason for all those things. And all those Old Testament saints and even all those early New Testament saints, they all died of something, the old age, whatever it may be. But he had the power. But he has absolute power over sickness. And then he went on, and we see another case in verse down below from 17 down. It said, it came to pass on a certain day that as he was teaching, that there was a Pharisee and a doctors of law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go unto thine house. And immediately he arose up before them and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Amen to that, boy. Well, leprosy pictures defilement from sin. Palsy pictures the paralysis of sin, where paralysis in our lives by sin. This man was unable to come to Jesus by himself. But he had some friends. He had four friends that had faith. When Jesus talked about the faith, he was talking about their faith. Man, they had four friends that had faith, and they took this man on his couch, his bed, whatever you want to call it, and they brought this man to Jesus. Jesus always honors faith, by the way. Always honors that faith. They had faith. Not only did they have faith, they had love. They had love for their friend. And love overcame every obstacle that was put before them. They got to the door. The place was packed. They couldn't get in. What would a good Baptist do? Us good Baptists, you know what we would have done? We would have just packed up and went to the house. We said, well, we tried, brother. You know, did you get in there? You get back in the pastor, but how'd it go? He said, well, we tried to get in. Just so many people. We just, I don't know what we're going to do. We just couldn't get in. No, man. They carried this guy's bed up onto the roof. They got to move the tiles out of the way to make a hole. They had to get ropes. I mean, I'm sure they didn't go down there with ropes and tackle and everything, thinking, well, we're probably going to be so crowded, we got to crawl on the roof and take the roof off and lower him down through the roof. They had to, when somebody went, it's just, you know how it is? You know how you try and do something for God? One thing after another, too many people, doors crowded, got to get on the roof. How are we going to get the tiles off? I can hear it now. Well, we got to do, making more excuses. Man, we go get the tiles off. We got to get some ropes. Somebody ran and got the rope. We're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to get him in front of Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, if I was laying on the couch, I want four friends like that. Huh? I want somebody, they're not going to quit. They're going to get me in there. That guy's got the power to heal. Get me to Jesus. Man, that's all I want. Drag, hook, crook, whatever. Yell, fire, get everybody else out of the room. Whatever you got to do, get me to Jesus. This is what they were going to do. And they had this faith. And so they got the man in. They were determined. And I remember when I got saved, I thank God that there was somebody that thought it was more important that they brought the gospel out to me than staying home and working on a raggedy old car. I thank God that somebody thought it was more important than taking little Johnny to the ball game. I thank God that somebody thought it was more important than hoeing around out there and getting the weeds out of their garden. I'm glad that somebody thought it was more important than fooling around on Facebook or the internet or whatever else they might have been able to do, go into the flea market, whatever. I thank God somebody decided they was going to come to my house, overcome their fears, and bring the gospel to me so that I could be saved. How about that? Thank God for that somebody was dedicated enough to God and determined enough to God. They had to come to my house three times. I mean, they could have quit on day one. They could have came the first time and said, what happened? The guy didn't get saved. Well, that's it. We tried. We're not going back there. No, next Thursday night, banging on the door. Huh? I guess what? I didn't get saved. Matter of fact, I got a little bit aggravated with the song leader, Truman Cooper. He is a good man. And I got a little bit aggravated with him, just his approach. We kind of butted heads just a little bit, but I'd have let him in if he'd come back 100 times. And then the following week, they came back down there, and I got saved. Thank God they had the determination. Gave up a Thursday night. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What do you think that means in eternity? What did they give up that was more important than bringing me to gospel in all eternity? What do you think's going to matter when it's all stacked up? Thank God that somebody got saved that night, and they brought that to me. Man, I mean, I'm so glad there was determination. The very first thing that Jesus did, what was the man's big problem that everybody could see? He had a palsy, which means he couldn't walk. He might not have been able to use his arms or his hands either. But the very first thing that Jesus did, he said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Why? Because that's your biggest problem. But what do we pray about every Wednesday night? Every Wednesday night, what does the prayer list look like? It's praying over somebody's hanged toenails, sickness, kidneys, livers, all that. We're worried about their sickness, and we're not worried about their souls. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. Jesus did heal his sickness, but I'm going to tell you what. He went to the sin problem first. He went to the number one problem first, and he said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And he knew those Pharisees and the doctors of the law were going to be sitting out there. And he knew what they were going to think. And actually, he knew what they were thinking. That they said, man, this man, only person that can forgive sins is God. Exactly. You got God in the flesh standing in your midst. You're a doctor of the law. You know that the Messiah is supposed to be coming, and you can't recognize him when he's standing in your midst. He says, so Jesus is pretty smart. He says, okay. He goes, I know what you're thinking. I'm paraphrasing this a little bit. It says he perceived. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I can't do it. You think I can't forgive sins. Well, let me ask you a question. What's easier to say and to get results? Thy sins be forgiven thee or rise up and walk? You know, it's like them people that you're going to pay big money. And I can do this, by the way, if you need me to come and you want to know what your dog is thinking for $100, a mere $100. I'll come out there anytime, day and night. You call, and I'll come and I'll have a conversation with your dog after you give me the money. And then I will tell you what your dog is thinking. Huh? If you got a horse or a cow and you want to know what it's thinking, I'll tell you what it's thinking. Huh? Yeah, I know what they're thinking. I'll tell you what's on their mind. Just a mere $100. Huh? How about that? How you gonna prove I? How do you know if I know what I'm talking about? You can't. Same thing. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, they can't see it. Anybody can say it. And Jesus said, what's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, and they be forgiven, that's implied, or arise and take up thy bed. But so you know that I have power. This is why he did it this way, in this order too. Just so you know that I have the power to forgive sins, he looked at that guy, he said, arise. That guy got up and carried his own bed out. And the four friends said, great, we ain't got to pull him up through the roof, man. Letting him down is one thing, pulling him back is another, man. He said, great. He said, rise up that bed and walk. And it said they were all amazed and they glorified God. Power over sin. Absolute, absolute power. He had power over failure, and he still does. He had absolute power over sickness. And he still does. And he had absolute power over sin. And he still does. Now, do you believe that? And I was sharing with you a few minutes ago, and I'd written a little note down here. You know, and I was thinking about things that we have prayed about in the past. And I do the same thing. Well, we prayed, man. We prayed God would send us a piano player. Boy, I was telling Brian, we were watching CT the other night. And I was going to talk to Daryl. I got Daryl's my piano player. Piano player. I said, man, when I get down to the closing, remember Daryl used to put a little piano music on there, a little something? I need a little help there sometimes. Be good. But boy, CT, we watch CT. And, you know, of course, they got that boy Jesse. He's blind. Here's a guy that's blind, man. Play the piano. I can see and I can't play. I play three blind mice. That's about it. And he's up, and he played a little piano on there. And we prayed for a piano player. We used to pray for a piano player all the time, right? But you know what? We didn't get one. Guess what? Quit praying. Huh? We used to pray for Lester all the time. Remember, Lester first got out of church? We prayed for Lester all the time, man. I got convicted about that later on. We went off the air. I think Danielle's phone died, so I can say some things I wouldn't probably say. I told Dwayne Tolbert. Dwayne Tolbert's got his back is shot. He can't work. Dwayne is out of work. He's not working. His back is messed up. He's had a surgery on it. They're going to have to do another one on it. And we were praying for Dwayne. We get around on Wednesday night, and I forget. Like I say, I don't have nothing against praying for those things along with the salvation. And I told Dwayne, and I told Sarah the other day, I said, man, I forgot about, I didn't even mention Dwayne Tolbert. I saw where he was watching on Facebook, him or Cher, somebody was watching. I said, I didn't even mention the guy for prayer. I told him today, I said, Dwayne, I'm sorry. I apologize to you, man. I said, I hadn't even been praying, lifting you up in prayer. And I said, I got convicted about it, and me and Sherry have been praying for you. And he smiled. He said, well, thank you, thank you. I said, we've been praying for you back. But you know what happens is when we don't see things, sometimes we think, we say that Jesus has absolute power over things, but when they don't happen on our timetable, then we just quit. We quit praying. Huh? Oh, man, listen. This message here, this my pastor used to say, it's a shotgun message. It's going to hit everybody. He said, it's going to go all over the place. And I was just thinking, the people that if we give ourselves, we give everything and consecrate everything we have to the Lord, and where He blesses to where the net's about to bust. I don't think that's the case. And I don't think it's Jesus' problem. I think it's ours. We're not giving Him everything that we have. Huh? But He's got absolute power over our failures, our sickness, our sin, you name it. He's got it. Amen? I hope that encouraged you tonight. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight.